Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world is coming, tell you why. There's a better world is coming, tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea and in the sky. There's a better world is coming, tell you why. There's a better world is coming, don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world is coming, don't you see?
Good evening and welcome. This is Richard Spezak, News Director for Progressive News Network. I want to welcome you on my behalf and on behalf of my co-producer, Mickey Royce, of the Media Goddess Worldwide. We bring you these shows to showcase the finest in progressive thinking in Florida. Primary focus is on the good people that are doing the work every day to make this a better world. That's right. You know, if you watch the news, you might hear all the terrible things that are going on. If it bleeds, it leads. But right here on Progressive News Network, you're going to hear the best progressive thinking that's available. And tonight we've got something really rare, too rare, unfortunately. We've got two fine progressive legislators from the state of Florida. We've got Mr. Jeff Clemens and we've got Mr. Mark Pafford. They'll be with us in just a minute. But I want to mention to you just a couple of the things that we Floridians have to keep our eye on. We've got to keep our eye on water pollution because there are people who object to the defense of clean water. Now, of course, they may drink water. They may breathe air. They may want a green landscape. But I'll tell you what, they don't care if you have it. They don't care about your water. They don't care about the pollution in the water. They don't care about it offshore. They don't care about it inshore. But if we're going to have a state that's worth living in, breathing in, and raising our families in, we have to make sure. And right now, with the state both fighting pollution inland and offshore, well, we have to make sure that this state has, in fact, its water defended, its land, its pollution stopped. So these are some of the people who are going to help us make sure that that happens. Another thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure that development, which, as you know, the restrictions and the restraint on development have been collapsed into one large governmental agency, both development and the control of development. So that's another area we have to be very, very careful of. And of course, you know, the Republican thinking is make government so small you can drown it in a bathtub. Well, that's the reason they're cutting these taxes. Cut. Obviously, it did not work during the Bush administration. Nationally, it's not working in the state. I remember hearing State Representative Harrell here in the Treasure Coast area say, oh, we could just cut. You'll never see a difference in schools or libraries or hospitals. You'll never see a difference in police departments or fire departments. And yet you see the same things that I see. They're just trying to find excuses to cut. Another thing that we've got to make sure is that the schools get adequately funded, and they cannot be shifting the burden over to the private sector. They can't be shifting the burden over to those of us who work for a living because, frankly, we don't have the pockets for it. And yet they can find room to cut the taxes on people who sell yachts, on people who sell airplanes. Well, that's not going to work. And we've got Democrats who will be with us tonight who are going to tell us about the work that they're doing to make sure that these things make sense. And, of course, another thing that our incredible Republican legislature is doing right now is they want to privatize the prisons because the prison industry has invested big time. Big time, the prison industrial complex has invested. They want to own all the jails. And, of course, it's to their benefit that they keep finding reasons to keep people in because, of course, that's their meal ticket. So that's going to be the end of people finding a way to work their way out of prison when they resolve their problems. So this is a force that has to be challenged. Of course, when they were asked to prove that this is going to work, well, what they did was they said, okay, we're going to make new rules so we don't have to prove anything. We're going to make rules that we can make these deals in advance with no questioning from the public. And that'll work for us. That'll work for them. but that won't work for us. And of course, because this is an election year, we all want to hear something about the Democratic strategy. How are we going to face it? How are our Democrats here in Florida going to make sure that the state is just not sold completely down the river? A couple stories I want to bring to your attention. Herodopoulos, Senate president, who's trying to run this prison privatization through, wasn't getting the kind of support from his chairman that he was hoping to get. So guess what? He removed Fasano. That's Mike Fasano, Newport Richey, Republican. He dared to question Senate President Herodopoulos. Can you imagine that? I mean, room for a debate? Well, evidently not. So when he tried to obstruct and ask questions, Herodopoulos said, well, he lost confidence in Fasano's ability to do his job as chairman and help the Senate craft a budget. Well, Fasano, however, took it as payback for his resistance to prison privatization. The Teamsters, the Police Benevolent Association, the AFL-CIO, and the Florida Education Association, and the Fraternal Order of Police have all released separate statements in the past few hours defending Fasano and criticizing the move. It's a shameful attack on Senator Fasano, the integrity of the Senate, and the democratic process, said Ken Wood, acting president of Teamsters Local 2011. Citizens of Florida should be outraged by the bullying of a people's representative. Senator Fasano is simply doing what a Florida senator is supposed to do, which is to deliberate, you know, debate, discuss, air grievances, discuss different options. Well, and deliberate over important issues, not rush them through without careful analysis. And of course, Senate President Herodopoulos didn't think that was a good plan. Another topic I want to bring up, of course, is that you probably all know that Occupy Miami was raided and shut down. Another one of the long string of Occupy movements that have been displaced from the public square. You know, there are forces out there who think they can shut down the Occupy movement merely by removing campers. That is not the case. And when you've got Republicans even, Republicans in this national race, decrying the out-of-touch and vulture capitalist Romney for his work, I'll tell you, you know, Occupy has found some strange allies, don't you think? When Newt Gingrich is decrying Romney as a vulture capitalist because Blaine Capital basically loaded companies with burdened them with debt and then took the money out. Yep, Newt, you're really not far off the target on that particular one. But boy, oh boy, that's something else. And of course, we've got the soon-to-be Senator Warren out there beating the drum to make sure that people know what this is about. It's not about which PAC can drop the most money and therefore control our election. This is about the people's right to choose. This is not what the Supreme Court would have you believe, a population that's saleable to the highest bidder. This is, in fact, a democracy, a republic where we elect our representatives who are to work for us. These civil servants work for us. So let's see. We should be getting a call from Mr. Clemens anytime soon. Let me go ahead and bring up some other issues that I think are relevant while we're waiting. Of course, you know that Mr. Manning has been ordered to trial. They're trying to say that what the material that he's released is was dangerous and aided the enemy, and yet the information that was released by Daniel Ellsberg, I'm sure you know, was of a higher classification nature than the material that was released by, if it was released by Bradley Manning. And of course, they're still trying to railroad Julian Assange to Sweden so that he can be extradited and come to this country to appear under charge here. Now, some people may say that's speculation, but there is a lot of information that points in that direction. Okay, let's see. We've got some other additional information we want to get you aware of while we're waiting here. Representative Debbie Mayfield, a Republican of Vero Beach, has run into some union opposition for a bill that overhauls a ton of provisions relating to state employees. HB 1261 passed its second committee by a 9-5 vote last week, only after being amended 4 times. Already, the proposal has changed multiple times. It was originally called for elimination of lump sum sick leave and annual leave payouts, but one of the most controversial components was taken out. It would also address how much of a bonus an employee could receive. It would limit leave time for veterans with disabilities to receive treatment from 6 to 2 days a year, and offer a slew of administrative changes for oversight of public employees. The proposal is a moving target, however, and has been heavily changed during committee hearings. The bill still has 2 more stops in committee, and the Senate companion hasn't budged yet, so it might face long odds this season. Okay. The Huffington Post reports this story on privatization. The struggle against prison privatization has been a long and difficult one. We face multinational corporations with billion-dollar budgets and no limits on what they can spend to influence policy. The industry has invested millions in state and national political campaigns and lobbies. It should be noted that Florida legislators in the last campaign cycle received almost $900,000 from private prison corporations. The industry expects a return on those investments, and now Florida may be poised to give them one. United Methodist Church has declared its opposition to the privatization of prisons and jails and to profit-making from the punishment of human beings. They have also called for elimination of privately operated, unregulated detention centers. The Presbyterian Church has called for the abolition of for-all-profit private prisons, jails, and detention centers. And the Catholic bishops of South have also questioned whether private, for-profit corporations can be effectively running prisons and have questioned the profit motive when it comes for prisons. If this bill passes, the conversion of the prisons will affect nearly 4,000 state employees and 16,000 inmates. Hopefully, Representative Clemens will be calling in soon. This means that a companion bill that will allow the legislature to privatize any state service with no substantial review. That means that privatization in Florida could be considered with little transparency, cost-benefit analysis, or public comment. This reverses Florida's long-time commitment to government in the sunshine, open government, and weakens legislation meant to purportedly ensure that privatization saves taxpayers' money and reflects the influence of nearly every dollar that went to the legislators from the private prison industry. To avoid public scrutiny or greater media response, SB 2038 has been fast-tracked through the Senate. It was filed on the afternoon of Martin Luther King's birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King's weekend birthday. Most folks only saw the language of the sweeping bill on Tuesday, January 17th, after the holiday. It went to the Rules Committee on Wednesday, the 18th, offering the only opportunity for public testimony. Virtually all the testimony was against privatization. It passed through committee and was sped on to the Budget Committee, where it also passed. And now, there are only 11 working days after its filing, the bill was slated for a vote by the full Senate. Very interesting. Let me go over a few of the areas that Representative Clemens focuses on. He's on the State Affairs Committee, Government Operations Subcommittee, the Health and Human Services Access Subcommittee, Joint Legislative Auditing Committee, Joint Select Committee on Collective Bargaining, Transportation and Highway Safety Subcommittee. And these are all very interesting areas with a lot going on. So I'm going to put some music on for just a second. I'll be right back. Okay, well, let's see if we got the word out, and hopefully in just a few minutes we'll hear from either Representative Clemens or another potential guest, and Representative Pafford should be with us on the half an hour. So stick around. Oh, by the way, also I want to mention we have some good colleagues out there in the progressive community doing good webcasts. We can't go a second without mentioning the good Gwen Holden Berry and her show Here Be Monsters. Also want to mention the indefatigable Amy Tidd, who's got a wonderful show Saturday morning. Oh, by the way, Gwen's show is Sunday from 6 to 7, just before our show. Amy's show is Saturday from 10 to 11, and you can find links to both their shows on our air. And here we go. I think we've got Denise White. Give me just 1 second, and we'll bring her on. Hello, Denise.
Hey, Rick. How are you doing tonight?
Very good, very good. Hey, I'm really glad you could call in. Denise, I know you've been active in so many areas. There's big news on the Martin County front. You want to make a comment about that?
You mean about Alan West deciding to run for U.S.
Yes.
Congress up here?
Well,
Isn't that crazy, Rick?
I'll tell you what, you know, if we're going to be trying a contest between a Democrat and a Republican, hey, give me a fire-breathing right-winger, boy. He'll step all over himself.
Well, you got the answer to that. Alan West is sure he's the ultimate, Rick. So you want to hear some of the issues that I've been working on lately, Rick?
Sure.
Okay, well, you know that when Newt Gingrich was here in Stewart, that Occupy Martin did a demonstration out in front of the Willoughby Golf Club. And, you know, we got there, we waved to the nice policemen, they were very friendly, and it was very encouraging in Martin County because the people who were conscious and driving by and noticed us, gave us the thumbs up or honked. We had a number of people stop. We had people, you're not going to believe this, we had people come out of the country club and said they were the Democrats who lived in the golf club and supported us.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I think people are mistaken when they think that the Republicans have a lock on Martin County. They don't.
Well, you know, I think the lock is rusty, and I think the emperor's new clothes are pretty obvious to more and more people every day. You know, when you've got one percenters like the Mitster and the Grin Grinch articulating Republican policy, boy, we got friends left and right.
Well, the same day, I also am a progressive Democrat, so I did go to the Port Salerno Seafood Festival and work a booth for the Democratic Party, and we got encouraging support. Lots of people stopping by, and the young activists that I work with, Patricia Metropatrick and Tara Woodruff, were there doing the afternoon shift. They said that they were also found that people were very receptive to progressive Democratic values and issues. And even some of the old-time Democrats that I've talked to in Martin County were surprised. They were shocked. I hate to say this, but I think some of them may be a little bit out of touch, where they think the only people that live and vote here in Martin County are, you know, 80-year-old retired people, you know, who've been here forever. But Rick, there's so many people like you and I that are working here and trying to make a living, and we're struggling.
Well, you know, I think, as I said a moment ago, it's more and more obvious to more and more people exactly what the heck's going on. And, you know, more people, I mean, look, gee, many Christmas, you know, the Arab revolt, the streets of Egypt, the streets of Tunisia, the streets of Syria, you know, how obvious does it have to get? The one percenters have dropped the ball and they don't care. Like the minister said the other day, hey, I don't worry about the poor. Hey, here's some of that, you know, that, what do you call it, that safety net thing. Don't anyone tell him, you know, that the safety net's been having holes drilled in it and it's fabric frayed by kind of bozos just like him. And to me, the ultimate insanity of this whole Republican thing is you got a guy like the Colonel who's going to march up the coast and claim this area for Republicans. Well, you know, somebody's going to have to tell that guy. You know, I don't know whether it's going to be me, I don't know if it's going to be you, or one of those other people who actually think for themselves. But somebody's going to have to tell this guy, you know what? He wouldn't have any kind of position in the Army except KP if it wasn't for liberal ideas he wants to order out of the country. Somebody ought to tell that guy that his wife and his daughter wouldn't be voting if it wasn't for liberal ideas in this country. And somebody ought to tell that guy that he'd be somebody's property if it wasn't for liberal ideas. So, you know, when guys like that who are so oblivious to basic fundamental reality, you know, forget it, don't notice it, you got to say, dude, you know, take a look. Take a look.
Incredible. Yeah, everything, the things he says to me are outrageous. I'm not, you know, I like Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I don't agree with her on everything she's done, but you know, his insults to her, his positioning, his trying to say that liberals are trying to hold blacks in a kind of slavery because we support programs like food stamps or unemployment. You know, I mean, he's speaking as a racist, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I mean, the Newtster took us all to school, you know. I mean, he told us that, you know, black people, I mean, they shouldn't be, you know, I mean, they shouldn't be looking out for a handout. They should be, you know, somebody ought to tell them that there's this thing called jobs. Do you think that was like a really insightful comment?
Not at all. He has no clue. Most people, well, you know, Rick, that my background is that I worked for 25 years in state government, and I started on the front lines as a worker, you know, certifying people for food stamps and welfare and Medicaid and WIC, and my clients, I can tell you, I grew up in a small town in upstate New York, and I believe the American dream. And then I interviewed little old people who told me that their food stamps didn't last through the whole month and that they bought canned cat food so they could eat. I interviewed people who lived in this country who had dirt floors. I discussed this with a 1%er who actually came from my home area at the Port Salerno Seafood Festival, and this guy was in total denial. He didn't believe that people live like that in this country, but they do. They do. I've seen it, and it's not right. It's not right when people live out on the islands and, you know, what do they worry about? Gas in their yacht? I don't know. It breaks my heart.
Well, you know, and of course, you being one of those uterus and ovary type humans, you must have been thrilled to death when the people from the Susan Komen breast department said, hey, you know, this is not for us, this helping women be healthier, you know? What'd you think about that?
I was very disturbed by it, and as I understand it, this controversy is not over. Komen has agreed to continue funding their current grants to Planned Parenthood, but there's nothing to say that they couldn't pull their funds next year. So people need to watch this story. They need to be very suspicious. When you buy something with a pink ribbon, don't assume that most of that money goes to breast cancer research, because I'm not sure it does. And as I understand, this woman who is now heading the Komen Fund is a former big supporter of George Bush. So all of that makes me extremely suspicious.
Yeah. Yep, I'll tell you, it's something else. But, you know, speaking of something else, I also want to mention that the 39th Annual Susan B. Anthony Feminist of the Year Award Luncheon is going to be coming up in, let's see here, I think it's in March. So let me go over to the website and take a quick look.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested in the details, Rick, about where that is.
Okay, let's see here. The Susan B. Anthony Feminist of the Year Award Luncheon is Sunday, March 18th. It's going to be at the Boca Country Club. And I don't know if you actually may be a woman, but even though I'm not a woman, I certainly know many, many, many good women. So I will be there at the Susan B. Anthony Feminist of the Year Award, because I know some very fine women who work to make this a better world every day. People like yourself.
You know, I'll die trying, Rick.
Well, I know you will. And what's better than that, honey, is you are succeeding. I've seen your work. I've seen you talk to people. I've seen you turn people around. And the fact that you've helped bring some new blood into the party up this way, I think it's fantastic. If you guys go to pbcnow.org, you can get the information, or also go to facebook.com/pbcnow and make sure you get your tickets, because there's still a few tickets available. Make sure you get your tickets to the 39th Annual Susan B. Anthony Feminist of the Year Award Luncheon. Be there
excellent.
Or be square.
That's excellent, Rick.
I also saw the rollout of a potential candidate in Martin County. He said a lot of the right things. I thought that was amazing.
Wow, who is this?
Well, I think that the gentleman who's, you know, trying to find his right spot as a civil servant, Mr. Horn, said a lot of the right things, despite what his website used to say or says. So I'm counting on him to keep up those vows that he made to us progressives that were there when he assured us that, in fact, he does support Roe v. Wade because, of course, it's the law of the land. I think that's the right kind of thinking. And when he said he supports responsible energy policy? Well, I think that's a hell of a good idea, too, despite what his website said. So I'm going to hold him to his word. I bet you will, too.
Yes, I will, Rick. You know, I believe that people can learn and grow and change their positions. And I don't necessarily consider that flip-flopping. Although,
no.
You know, in this time and date, I am somewhat wary of people who are political opportunists who sometimes might change their positions because they think that will endear them to the voters.
Denise?
So, I listen to people, but then I really watch their actions.
Trust but verify,
and,
absolutely.
You know, that's,
my favorite Reaganism.
That's the way I judge things.
Huh. Listen, I'm going to let you go because I think I got Representative Pafford, okay?
Thanks
for calling.
Okay, oh, wow, I'll be really glad to hear him.
Okay, dear. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay,
bye.
Representative Pafford.
Hey, can you hear me?
I sure can, sir. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
How
you
doing
much.
Tonight?
No problem at all. Pretty good.
So
you gave me an opportunity. What's to say it again?
I was going to say, it's so generous of you to spend some time with us tonight on such a busy, important night for so many people.
Well, you know, as long as the Dolphins aren't playing, I've got time for you.
Okay, great. So, sir, tell us, there's so many things going on right now. Why don't you tell us the headlines first?
Well, I think the headlines in terms of, you know, the legislature and what we've heard are pretty simple. It's more of the same. This past week, we went ahead and passed district maps, redistricting, for both the House and the Senate, Florida House and the Senate, and, of course, Congress. And so those are on their way, through the various hoops that they're going to have to go through. Of course, the Democrats feel that, there are a lot of politics played in the development of the maps. And so ultimately, you know, the court will determine whether or not that theory is true. This week, we've got budget, which is going to be another real bad year for vulnerable people, children, hospitals, you name it. But, you know, since the beginning of session, we've seen a number of bills that have, in my view, really been very bad bills for Floridians. We've got more anti-choice legislation. We've got, people trying to limit the poor, their ability to purchase things with, as they say, state dollars. You know, if you're poor, you can't buy a cupcake for your kid on a birthday. And they really, really overstep as far as I'm concerned.
Is that very light touch of government that the Republicans are always telling us? They don't want the government reaching and making decisions?
It's a bit odd, you know. Somehow the sponsor, Representative Plakin, decided that, he'd try a bill that, number one, made it very difficult to use certain types of debit cards, the cards that people that are on the SNAP program use, and SNAP's for basically, you know, poor people utilizing dollars to buy things, very important things like food. And his idea, which, you know, may have made some sense to a lot more people, was to limit use in things like strip clubs or casinos. But somehow he had a language in this bill, and I'm smiling because it's just so outrageous, that limited a person's ability to buy things like popsicles, muffins, cupcakes. It's a bizarre overstep. And, yeah, when you say about, you know, limited government, it really flies in the face of that.
Well, you are fighting a good fight, sir, and I have to salute you. You've got an unenviable task there in that Republican mix. And I see from the bills that you're sponsoring and co-sponsoring, you are still trying to hold their feet to the fire. Do you want to talk about some of those?
Sure. If you have a list in front of you, feel free to go down the ones that you think are important.
Well, for example, the public school funding.
Well, you know, public school funding is it's very, very critical.
I think your attack is excellent because you're trying to establish that there's a floor, so they can't just keep gutting and gutting and gutting. I think it's an excellent attack, sir.
I appreciate that. You know, they're gutting by using things like the FCAT as a trigger to develop vouchers that ultimately, I think, frankly, I don't know any other plan that they have other than to completely defund, you know, public education as we know it, and broaden the definition of education so they can do that and get away with it. You know, it's been a 10-year plan. I mean, oddly enough, you know, former Governor Bush is seen as the education governor, you know, the guy with the best legacy. And, you know, I think
the guy with the nefarious plan. I remember that part.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if you look at ACT and SAT scores and graduation rates, right now in Florida, 61% of kids actually graduate high school. And if you look at ACT and SAT scores, you know, ranked from around the country, Florida's about 45 to 47. It's embarrassing. Truly is embarrassing.
Well, I think you and I were in school back when teaching to the test was a bad thing.
Well, you know, I remember taking the Stanford Achievement Test, and you know, I'm Dade County. That's where I was raised. And public school was a much different place at that point. You know, the test was seen as, I think, maybe a benchmark, maybe a tool, but only a small tool as opposed to, you know, overall performance and all other things, including, you know, the kid's background and what kind of support they had at school, at home. You know, all these things came into the equation. Now, you know, it's quite literally an FCAT. Determines not only the fate of a kid, but the fate of a school, the fate of a teacher. It's just asinine, frankly.
Well, I do some teaching, and I know from my own practice, when I put students to a task and have them show me from their work on that task, on that project,
mm-hmm.
they absorb it much better than when I give them a quiz. Because 9 times out of 10, I give them a quiz, and the majority of the students looks at me blankly the next day and say, how did I do that? I learned it for the test. I didn't learn it to learn it. And unfortunately, I think the whole Bush program was based on quizzing. And unfortunately, I think that there was another nefarious plan behind that as well.
Sure. And it
was the preliminary, you know, to the privatization of education.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, I think you have to draw the conclusion at this point that that's exactly what's occurred. And you know, one other point, I mean, you know, you've got a lot of kids out there who are like me. You know, I really didn't perform as good as other kids, largely because I believe that I have a form of dyslexia. And, you know, learning for me was completely different. And unless we took, you know, those differences into account, and, you know, I had different types of support, there's no way I would have gotten out of school. You know, I don't think the FCAT measures, you know, different people very well.
Well, you know, it's the old one size fits all. And unfortunately, everyone's learning mm-hmm. approach is not the same. Let me ask you about
right.
another one, sir. HJR7, recall of the governor, lieutenant governor, and member of cabinet or legislator.
Yeah, That bill is by my friend Rick Kreisman over in Pinellas. he is, I think it's the second time that he's trying to get this bill heard. And oddly enough, it wasn't planned around the governor being elected. This is something that, you know, the timing, of course, was just impeccable. But, you know, it really, you know, if you think about it, I think there's a good argument and case to be made that the people should have some sort of ability to recall this, you know, a governor, no matter who it is. You know, certainly I think Rick Scott might fall into that category at this point. You know, I mean,
well, the indictments aren't in yet.
Well, yeah, and that's the key. You know, look, anybody can be a bad governor, but at what point would that trigger be pulled? That's a big question.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's remarkable. You've got so many confluences of challenges. And, I mean, let's face it, we're on the backside of year after year after year after year of Republican propaganda, Republican cuts, Republican tax cuts. And, you know, these guys have dug us a hell of a hole to get out of. So it's
well,
a challenge.
Yeah, It is, and, you know, part of my debate this week will be, you know, talking about the hole we're in, talking about, you know, basically an indictment of a philosophy that's failed Florida and really put us in the back row, you know, in so many categories. And then, you know, calling them out for what they're worth. You know, it's not the legislature or the governor at this point that are running things. It's a Grover Norquist mentality. And, you know, people need to talk the truth. And that's what I plan to do this week on the budget. Yeah, I was talking actually to Susan Booker, really a person I think was a great representative in the state of Florida. Now is, you know, really a kind of a non-political, non-partisan person. But I talked to her often, and I had the question. I said, you know, while you were elected, do you ever vote for a budget? Did you ever support a budget? And the entire time she was in the legislature, you know, she never voted for a single budget. And a lot of the reasoning is because you've got people who refuse to consider not the slice of the pie, but the size of the pie. And, you know, we're a state that's grown from, you know, well, I should say to 19 million people with a, you know, tremendous demographic makeup. You know, where 20% of our folks are 60 or older. We've got a huge portion that are children. And, you know, we've almost got, we have over 3 million people on Medicaid. And you know, that ceiling hasn't been increased in years. Under affordable health care, which is held up in court by Pam Bondi, you would see many, many, many more people getting just, you know, if you look at health care. But the state is really backwards. This past week, we passed another homeowners insurance bill that would turn a lot of folks over that are currently being covered by Citizens to the surplus lines carriers, which are unregulated, largely not based in the state of Florida, and some of them are overseas. And they're, you know, they keep saying, well, the rates are going to go down if we make moves like this. But everything I've seen for 4 years has been just the contrary. The rates are going through the roof. Insurance policies are not very good products, you know, in terms of what they're going to do if God forbid this storm helps. But the consumers just continue to take it day in and day out. And unfortunately, you know, right now the legislature is geared to making corporations and insurance companies and all those type of folks the beneficiaries of government. And it's, you know, you could argue it's almost criminal what we're doing to Floridians. And frankly, you know, if I were considering moving to Florida from another state, I'd really have to do my homework, not just assume the state of Florida is the same wonderful place it was 25 years ago.
Well, I can certainly say that I remember a very different Florida. I was just told by a friend who still is in Miami about the basically corporate sell-off of Matheson Hammock.
Yeah, I've heard that too. It's and it was such a beautiful place,
My first vision of Miami's shores, Miami water, and Miami seascape was those incredible flats off the coast there, and that whole lovely area. It harkened back to an area when people actually, when conserve meant, you know, to actually conserve our environment.
Right, and we don't do that very well at all at this point.
Can you tell us, sir? Is our benighted state still suing the federal government so we can keep polluting our waters?
the state just basically sent the DEP rules to the EPA. Now the question is, you know, whether or not the EPA will kick those rules out. I think more importantly, if you look at Sierra Club and what they're doing, you know, they've got a lawsuit, an active lawsuit that is basically against the state of Florida and the rules that they developed, or, you know, maybe they, I would question the rules.
Rent it out.
What I understand. Yeah, what, say it again?
I said rent it out.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You know, hopefully the courts will rule in favor of the environmental groups that are suing the state. I mean, the quality of the water continues to diminish. I had a bill this year that wasn't even heard. It would have replaced a lot of the dollars that the governor and the legislature took away from water management districts to provide a fund for a clean water project. And it didn't actually create a new tax. What it did was use a portion of the dock stamps the way it did back in 2005. I basically replaced language that had been repealed in 2005 to bring more dollars to the water management districts. And I thought perhaps there was a chance that would happen if they were looking for dollars, but they never picked it up. In the same sense, you know, another bill that I filed was the 1189, which is the new elections bill, the one that would basically overturn, if you will, or repeal what we did last year and return early voting and third-person registration, return it to the statutes the way it was about a year ago. And, of course, you know, they failed to pick that bill up. Hopefully the courts will rule that the state of Florida, you know, suppressing votes, and the state will be forced by court order to make those changes. But I offered the bill. I'm still hopeful maybe in the next 5 weeks the courts will rule, and by chance maybe, you know, the legislature will have to pick up my bill. Look, I'm still an optimist, I guess. I don't know.
Good for you. Good for you. We need optimists.
Yep.
when the deck is stacked against you so heavily. In fact, I'm gonna get to that point in a minute, but I want to ask you about a couple more things first. You know, you saw hands across the sand. I saw hands across the sand. I think your ban on oil exploration, drilling, extraction, HJR-7, speaks to how we're going to marshal our resources and protect our shores and inlands with this mad dash to continue to plunge in and look for oils and gases. When without the subsidies that exist for them, they would be less viable than the solar and all the geothermal and the retrievable energy. But I was going to ask you this. You know, here on the one hand, we know there's a mobilized public who will fight this. You've done a wonderful job with this bill. And at the same time, you know, we've got this drilling going on between Cuba and Key West. I have to wonder, and you know, maybe my environmental friends will not like the sound of this, but I'm wondering where the heck the protests are about this. You know, is it that we're just exhausted?
Yeah.
Is it that it's the wrong time of the year? You know, I'm wondering where the hell the protests are because, you know, granted, if you're against drilling, you got to be against drilling. And if you're concerned about it, you know, we've seen not all Europeans, but we've seen significant amounts of Europeans who are a little more sensitive to environmental concerns than a lot of the right-wingers here. You know, I'm wondering if we can observe a little bit of pressure and make sure that drilling is as safe as it can be done. I'd like to see those protests, and I'm sure you're concerned.
It would be, sure. The more protests available, the better. Perhaps you're right. Well, I don't know if I can't say you're right. You didn't really say that you believed it, but you're wondering out loud like I am. You know, you wonder if people are just exhausted. The Deepwater Horizon, it also spilled a lot of energy. There were protesters happening 24 hours a day. I hope that's not the case. You know, I think perhaps because it's not a Florida type of issue, perhaps you see maybe less of the protests. But I would have to think, there are certainly more people that are upset about that or as many as they were about the drilling in the Gulf. You know, one thing I will mention, there is a bill up this year that I was reading about that will basically, and I think it's up on the floor this week. I was reading bills Friday night probably about till 10:30 in the Capitol. And this one crossed my desk. It's a bill that basically would lessen the cost to explore on land in Florida. So, you know, I'm talking about the Big Cypress area. I'm talking about 20-some-odd sites throughout the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. And I think the purpose is to spur more drilling. And, you know, this is a bill that you're probably hearing about for the first time right now. But, you know, obviously if this is something they're going to try, obviously the Jeff Clemens of the world and folks in the legislature that think like we do will raise hell.
Let me ask, there's two more areas that are really big and very thick, and I mm-hmm. hesitate to ask you to try to delve into both of them before we
go ahead.
Today.
We're good.
Question number one, sir, is I think it's so laudable. Your HB 1367, Strategic Lawsuits Against Public Participation, we have seen so much attempt to tamp down public input. And I think that's marvelous that you would do that. You want to talk about that?
I appreciate it. Well, you know, and there are so many examples. And you know, these large developers come in, they slap people with a suit, they lock them in court, they finish the project, and, you know, the input was never heard. It is a big issue. And, you know, the reason I filed that was because last year, a lot of the growth management bills that we passed, literally just, you know, it's the Wild West when it comes to development. And, you know, when we loosened, well, we got rid of concurrency. We did all these things that, you know, if you are at all concerned about sensitive natural habitat, there could be a drive to really develop the state more than we've ever seen because of this rollback. And, you know, you look at Governor Graham, you look at so many folks who have been involved in how we develop growth management policies. I think people are shaking in their boots. You know, this state is basically giving everything away to the quote-unquote job creators. When in fact, you know, if we were to loosen everything up, there's not going to be an impact on the economy. Nobody's building houses at this point. There's millions of empty units. This was just a ploy to basically allow those who have cash and at some point want to spend it have an easier time making money. That's all that was. It was a giveaway.
Okay. This is a toughie.
Okay.
Many of us are very concerned about the underreporting of the continued ongoing damage to the Gulf, the continued use of Corexit, the continued leaking from the Macondo site, which BP keeps denying, but at the same time has ships out there collecting oil products. And from what we hear from people who are reporting from the fishing community, they're still seeing spraying. As part of the Health and Human Services Access, or Health and Human Services Committee, can you get access to information that is either, well, let's start with federal and maybe go toward independent? Is there any chance you've seen any of that, or can you request some of that? I know a lot of my friends would be very interested in that.
Well, I would say that it's probably very, very unlikely. I've done some research myself just to try to get information. And, you know, occasionally you see a report on the news or on the web, and there is, you know, legitimate reporting, and these aren't just, you know, far out things that are happening.
Right.
There are legitimate claims that, you know, oil continues to wash up, and there may be spraying, and but I can't figure it out. And frankly, you know, look, the response during Gulf, the Horizon incident, was shocking to me. The fact that you had BP answering phones for the DEP. That you had state senators and legislators demanding information, and we were told no. It's absolutely shocking. I think the federal government has done a horrible job in terms of information that's been gathered. I'm not very clear in terms of why, you know, how the Coast Guard isn't. I know the reason. Well, and look, I think they're covering up things. It's not necessarily the government, but certainly BP knows a lot more about what's going on, and I do think there is some leaking. But nobody knows for sure where. But I think, you know, look, we have to err to caution. I don't think there's any problem with me saying that. I don't think there's any problem with you continuing to make it an issue, because if we don't, nobody will. I'd much rather be wrong asking the questions than just, you know, turning my back on an issue that continues to be in the news. I don't. By the way, one other thing, I know we're closing short on time, is another bill up this week, tomorrow at 3 p.m. In HHS Quality Subcommittee, which is healthcare, that, getting back to Department of Health, it actually decentralizes the Department of Health, the State Department of Health, into the local healthcare districts. It provides block grants okay? And this is very, very concerning. You know, locally in Palm Beach County, we had a cancer scare. If you turn those type of issues and responsibilities over to local health departments, they may not have the high level of testing or skills or professionals that they should in incidences of, you know, these type of scares. They will absolutely redefine the healthcare in this state with this type of bill. And, of course, it's all being done to save money because nobody wants to ask rich people to kick in their fair share.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other discussion. Let me ask you one final thing, sir. And
sure.
Again, I have to tell you, anything we can ever do for you, you let this show know, we will do it for you. We think you're doing the work of the angels, that's for sure.
Thank
so
you.
Let me thank you first. Now, let me ask you this. With the numbers where they are, what is the best effective Democratic strategy in a House that's ruled by people who seem unfamiliar with the term civil service, except insofar as it applies to corporations?
The strategy is my best hope. You know, and I don't think it'll happen within my legislative lifetime, which is, you know, if I'm reelected, I'll have 2 more terms, 4 more years, assuming I'm reelected. You know, the numbers have to get closer. Having 39 members out of a 120-member House is not, it's not just not helpful to the few Democrats that are there, but it also provides the leadership, and I'm talking the Speaker and the President and the Governor, to deal with a handful of people, because the majority is so overwhelming, even Republicans. By the way, I'm saying this, there are some damn good Republicans in this state who are just as good as I am on a lot of issues, but they don't have an opportunity to talk. So as soon as we're able to begin bringing the numbers closer in each party, in each chamber, you're going to force issues to get the proper debate and get the proper input and really develop better public policy. The strategy is, let's make sure the courts get these districts, and then everybody individually and as large groups, they need to understand how people like me vote. And if we don't vote their way, the voters, the way they anticipate us to vote, then whether you like us or not, whether we're nicest people in the world, you still need to vote against us in November. That'll be the only way we can grab hold of the attention of the leadership and really begin to see some change in the state that is based on a pragmatic, thoughtful public policy development.
Well, sir, I can't thank you enough. You are such a breath of fresh air. Your concern, your authentic concern about the people of Florida, about the environment of Florida, about the civic life of Florida. You know, I look at these, just the few bills that you had highlighted on your site, and that says to me, this is a man who's concerned about more than just lands and water and people. He's also concerned about the challenges to democracy. And that, to me, is even more dangerous than the threats to our water and the threats to our overdevelopment.
Indeed.
Thank you.
That's where it starts. You're welcome. And thank you very much. I always enjoy coming on.
Well, sir, you enjoy yourself. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon. Don't ever hesitate.
All right,
okay?
Anytime. Thank you so much. You guys take care.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Sir. Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard a stirring set of points made by Representative Mark Pafford, a man who's clearly out to protect, as I said, not just you as a Floridian, not just you as a air-breathing, water-drinking Floridian, but also as a voter, also to try to protect the democratic process. Without the democratic process, without the participation of the electorate, then we have what is essentially a monopoly. We have essentially the rule of an oligarchy that will brook no participation. And since this show is determined to present progressive points of views, I want to thank you for joining us. I also want to remind you, our good friends, Gwen Holden Berry, Amy Tidd, Anita Stewart, and all those good progressive broadcasters that are out there. And don't forget, get your tickets for the 39th annual Susan B. Anthony Feminist Award. That's in Palm Beach, pbcnow.org. Make sure you get your tickets. Thanks a lot. This is Rick Spezak. I want to thank you on my behalf and on behalf of my co-producer, Mickey Royce. Keep making this a better world. Occupy your civic life. Also want to thank Denise White for joining us tonight. Hi there.